On today's episode of The Breakaway, presented by U.S. Bank, Cam Iwasa had two Cammy Whammies or Camburgers, whatever we want to call them, on Saturday's match. We get to talk to him about last match and much, much more. It was the fourth time we had him on, and it was an absolute pleasure. So it was so fun to talk to him for about 20 minutes or so. So that is coming up on today's episode. But first, Honor Our Educators Night is coming up August 28th. That's next Saturday for an 8 p.m. kickoff. If you are an educator, teacher, if you work with educating children, let us know. Go to sacrepublicfc.com right now to pick up your free tickets to the upcoming match. If you have a friend, a parent, somebody you know who's a teacher, let them know about this deal. We want to honor educators all night long, and specifically by doing so, by having you guys come out to Heart Health Park next Saturday, August 28th, as the Republic will take on San Diego Loyal. This financial timeout is brought to you by U.S. Bank. We're talking about credit application basics. Whether you're looking to buy a new car or your first home, you'll need your Social Security number, checking or savings account numbers and balances, and information on any outstanding loans. Have your employment history handy as well. You may also need proof of income like pay stubs or W-2s. It's a good idea to take a look at your credit report before you apply for credit. You get a free copy once a year from one of the three major credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion. If you find anything incorrect or out of date, you can contact the agency to correct it. Keep listening to this podcast for more helpful credit tips from U.S. Bank, Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC. At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams. Students advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you. Made in the Shade Tent Rentals is your number one choice for tent rentals in Sacramento and throughout Northern California. From concerts and festivals to corporate events, outdoor dining to private special events, construction, manufacturing, or farming, whenever you need shade, whatever the occasion, we've got you covered. Visit madeshade.com to inquire about options. That's made, M-A-D-E, shade.com. All right, let's do it. Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
A few things I want to get to before we have Cam Iwasa join us. Phoenix Rising on Saturday, they are coming off of two consecutive matches where they have drawn, one with Las Vegas and one with Orange County. By the way, Orange County just fired their coach yesterday after a rough stretch. However, and by the way, I wanted to say, Phoenix clearly not been too happy with the way they've been scoring, because they just signed another forward, Darren Maddox, who has played. He's a former MLS player. He scored 37 goals and 14 assists in 182 matches with the Whitecaps. He was drafted in the 2012 Super Draft, was playing in the Premier League in Sudan. He's also played with the Timbers, DC United, and FC Cincinnati. And he's also appeared 50 times internationally for Jamaica and has scored 18 goals. So this guy can score. 30-year-old, he's got experience. And what does Phoenix need more of? Apparently scoring. So we'll see how they use him in their system. Kind of a interesting, wasn't expecting to see that from the top scoring team in the league, but hey, more scoring for them, why not? We'll see if he's in the 18 or the 11 this Saturday against Sacramento. Quickly wanted to touch on one of the things I think we're going to see. I know Sacramento was very unhappy with the free kick goal last time these two teams played, and have really been focused on not allowing the same thing to happen. I believe it was Asante who did that, and Sacramento's played this team very tough, 2-1 and 1-0. And by the way, 2-1 was, if you remember, a red card early on. They score one and were on the verge of scoring an equalizer, down a man, against the best team in the league. So I think if Sacramento can really focus and try to use that mindset that they had late in that game, they could be in very, very good shape. We know that Phoenix likes to get out and run. They signed another speedster in Maddox this week, so I feel like they know they can basically outrun most people. The reason why I think Sacramento actually can handle that a little bit, especially on the wings, is because they have speed in Luqua, McCrary, and Shannon Gomez. So there's a lot of really good opportunities for Sacramento. I do think the Sacramento matches up with this team really well. I don't think there's been a game between these two the last couple years that has not been just really competitive. And I imagine it will be the same way on Saturday. Obviously, Sacramento needs the points a little bit more than Phoenix, who's kind of run away with the top spot. But I don't think Phoenix gives away points. That's why they're so far ahead. They just don't do that. But coming off of two straight draws, we'll see what they do coming up on Saturday in their lineup. They've had most of the same guys. They've had Moore and Asante both in the lineup recently. So it's not like they are too injured, but we'll see. And it's going to be a good opportunity to see how well Sacramento can match up against the best team in the league when they have been playing their best stretch, and Sacramento has. They haven't lost a match in six matches. They picked up points quite a bit recently, and we'll see if they can do that again on Saturday. We also talked to Cam Iwasa a little bit about this Phoenix team, but we know the counterattack is their bread and butter. They love to get out and run, specifically on the counter, and we'll see if Sacramento can kind of stop that. Sometimes we've seen them kind of use a little bit of the press when they get the ball back or get an interception or a tackle, and it's worked quite well, and I think it's kind of slowed that down, but Phoenix is going to obviously try to figure out a way to get around that and quickly get out and run. All right, that's it for the open. Let's get to Cam Iwasa. Hey, Breakaway fans. Shout out to our friends at Suncrest Bank, who not only believe that local matters, they prove it with their support of Sac Republic. When you think about the struggles we've endured over the past year and a half, it's good to know that Suncrest Business Recovery Center is at the backs of local businesses the entire time with PPP, SBA, and agribusiness loans. They're here for the long haul, ensuring our community not only survives, but thrives. Suncrest Bank is where Central Valley turns for personal and business banking needs. Visit any one of their seven locations or online at suncrestbank.com. You can also call them at 916-830-3560 and speak to a Suncrest business account representative today. That's 916-830-3560. And hey, give us an assist. Tell them Connor Sutton sent you. Go Republic. Go Suncrest Bank, the bank where local matters. An equal housing lender, member FDIC. Give me a mic check real quick.
Check, check.
Okay, we're cool. All right, joining us on the podcast today, he scored twice on Saturday, both big goals for the Republic, giving them the 2-1 win over Las Vegas. Cameron Iwasa, I mean, I did the post-game interview with you, the man of the match, which is always just like three quick questions, but like, I feel like that was one of the best games you guys played all year, just from start to finish. Did you guys feel that at halftime you're down 1-0? Did you feel like, hey, we're still playing good, we're fine, we don't have to worry?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, by the way, this is like your, what, fourth time on?
I think it's four, yeah.
I think you're the record holder.
Am I the all-time appearance leader in the podcast?
I guess.
But no, to answer the question, yeah, we felt really good about how we were playing. To be honest, we feel like we should have had more than two goals because we created so many chances. You know, we were constantly applying pressure to their goal. And, you know, we certainly felt like it was a deserved result. You know, the halftime being down 1-0 at halftime off of a pretty fluky goal for them. And considering that, you know, we also created a lot of chances in the first half, it was pretty disappointing. But at the same time, like, we had a lot of confidence because of the fact that we were just constantly, we felt like it was just wave after wave of pressure on them.
What, I think it was like 19 shots total.
It was 24.
I'm sorry, 24. Yeah. You're right. Which, I mean, I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, but it's got to be one of the best of the year for sure.
Yeah, I think I saw some random stat that it was like our most shots in a game in like three seasons.
Really?
Like that, yeah.
Okay, well, you would know better than I would apparently. But like, I thought it was just the buildup too seemed like super smooth and fluid. And the flick goal, by the way, was class. I mean, it was a sweet goal. We can talk about the first one separately, which I think is up for goal of the week. Did you know you made team of the week, by the way?
I did. I just found out like 10 minutes ago.
Oh.
So.
I was hoping to break it to you on here. I thought it'd be fun. But I felt like just after you scored that first goal, it was like, hey, finally got one, kind of relaxed a little bit. Is that how it felt for you too, or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, we were just constantly putting pressure on them. And so to get that breakthrough, especially so quickly into the second half, I think it was just full confidence that we were going to find a second one and end up finding a way to win that game.
Six straight matches for you guys where you've picked up points, and you know that started off kind of rough, and since then it's really been much, much better. And now you play Phoenix on Saturday, where you know we're about halfway through the season, a little over halfway. You guys doing any scoreboard watching, any standings watching? I know I do it constantly, but does that happen with the teams at all? Or you know Phoenix at the top, but other than that, does it not really matter?
Not yet. I think once we get to that real final stretch where it's, you know, less than 10 games, less than 5 games, and, you know, then you probably have to do a little bit of it. But, I mean, at this point, we still control our destiny. If we can continue to string together results, get some more Ws and stack some points, ultimately what other teams do won't really matter. So mm-hmm. I think that's just where our focus is right now. We definitely had that rough stretch, but you know, it's a lot of circumstances that lead to it. Obviously we just weren't playing well, you know, that's a big part of it, but we had so many injuries to start the year, so many different guys coming in and out of the lineup. And so now we finally feel like we have our health. Obviously, you know, having Tucker out for the season's tough, but in general, like we have most of our guys that are back and ready to play. And so we can really kind of start to piece things together and kind of find that identity of like the team that we want to be. And I think that showed on Saturday night.
Were you itching for a third?
I mean, you know, you go into a game, like for me, my mindset is to get a goal. And then if I do get a goal, the mindset's to get a second, and then it's to get a third. And so, you know, I'm always itching for one more. You know,
but the third is a little different, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do have one hat trick. That's the only hat trick of my career, so it would be nice to throw another one on the resume, I guess. But
and then the backflip comes into play, I would assume, right?
Yeah, I think you know, I feel like a backflip is mandatory if I get
right.
a hat trick, but I also want to make sure that if I'm going to throw a backflip, we have enough of a cushion to where it's not going to be like throwing a backflip and then it's like, oh no, the team just came back and now I kind of look stupid.
We've seen two rough backflips this year.
That's the thing, is the standard for the backflip so far from this team is pretty low. So I think I might need to throw one at some point just to kind of raise that.
Tucker and Jerome, I would say Tucker's was a little bit worse than Jerome's, but you know, it's somebody needs to show him how to do it correctly. So
I'll try to take my opportunity.
Yeah,
if I get one.
There you go. What do you do to celebrate after the game when you guys win? What's you're from here, you know, you obviously have a lot of family around, but do you have a go-to mindset? Like, hey, I scored, we won. What's the go-to?
I mean, a lot of it is just like, you always try to celebrate the wins, right? I mean, regardless of how I play, if our team wins, like I'm fired up, the boys are fired up, and that's kind of the mentality. So I mean, most of the time, like I can speak for myself, and I know a lot of the guys are the same way, that the adrenaline's so high after a game, and especially with the late kickoffs, it's hard to sleep. I mean, so if I go home, I'm going to be laying in bed. So oftentimes we'll try to grab a beer or something and hang out, and it's a good opportunity to, you know, build off of the win and hang out with all the boys and continue to kind of build that chemistry and stuff.
Is it something to where like, I want to talk about the first goal because holy crap, that was a banger. I mean, I was just talking to Wheeler Amanu about it, and he's like, holy crap, can he shoot with his left foot? I turned away and I heard the pound of the ball, and that's when he looked. I didn't see the goal until I watched it, but my goodness, what a freaking shot that was. I mean, up for goal of the week, congrats on that. I mean, take me through that mindset of that play right there.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, we were obviously chasing the goal there. We needed to try to equalize. And I, you know, my mentality is to try to score and be aggressive. And I got, you know, Dark found me in a nice little pocket of space, and their center back didn't step right away. So I had time to take a touch and just let one rip. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not going to act like I was like trying to place it right in the top corner, but you know, when it comes to those kind of strikes for me, it's just to focus on getting my foot through the ball and hitting it hard and hitting it solid. And, you know, a little bit fortunate that it literally went like top corner.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, a goal is a goal. If it deflects off somebody and ends up going in the net, like that's kind of what you're looking for. So just trying to get shots off whenever I have the opportunity is really just the mindset.
I know you're a big golfer. Does it fit into your weekly routine, or is it something that where if you have an off day here and there, you might go out and play? Like, how does that work for you? Because I know, like, you hear, like, oh, Michael Jordan used to always go and play all the time. Different guys have different, you know, spots. What is it for you? How do you fit it in?
Yeah, well, first of all, Michael Jordan is not a human, so that's a
that's
little
true.
Bit different.
That's a fair point.
Like, this guy would go out and play, like, 36 holes the day he had a game, yeah. And then he'd go and drop 40, so...
That's a good point. Sorry.
Let's not compare anybody to MJ. But for me, it's mostly an off day activity, yeah. Or, you know, maybe I'll, you know, I'm fortunate that where we live now is like in a golf community. So maybe I'll go hit the range a little bit, or, you know, I can go play like 6 to 9 holes or something in the late afternoon or something like that if I'm bored. But typically I don't want to be out playing 18 holes when I'm trying to recover and be ready to go on Saturdays. You know, on the weeks where we play Wednesday, Saturday, typically that's a week that I don't touch a golf club because recovery is such a big focus during those times. But, you know, on the normal weeks where it's just Saturday and then, you know, don't play till the following Saturday, I'll usually find an opportunity to get out and play a little bit.
I feel like, you're a guy who takes it very seriously when you're out there. You're competitive, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my favorite things is, you know, I think the best part of doing what we get to do for a living is that it's competition all the time, especially under the lights. That's as good as it gets for me. But golf is a very low impact way to kind of still get some of that competitive juice flowing. So, you know, I take it personally. Our strength coach, Luke Rayfield, is a really good golfer. And, you know, I'm constantly chirping at him that I'm going to catch him at some point. I mean, he played golf in college. So
right.
He's a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
Monterey Bay. He played
Monterey Bay, am I wrong?
CSU Monterey Bay, yeah.
Wow. Don't tell him I don't know that.
Well, hopefully he doesn't listen to this.
I've known him as long as you have, I think. wow, that's bad.
But, yeah, so I'm constantly chirping that I'm going to catch him at some point, but I still got a long way to go to get there.
Willie, I feel like, do you play with him a lot?
Yeah, we try to.
Yeah. He also can, I'm sure he can smoke it on the drive as well.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's a legit 300 yards. It's off the tee.
Has any fans come up to you and asked you about a Cammy Whammy or a Camburger?
I don't think so. I've seen a couple of, I think, ironic mentions on Twitter. but I don't think anybody is seriously using the terms.
I'm shocked at your reaction to him. Because now when I do the interviews, like at Man of the Match, I just slide it in. Hey, 2 Camburgers for you tonight. And you don't even like let it.
I just let it roll. I don't want to ruin your moment. I feel like it's as big of a deal for you as it is for me. So I don't want to take that away from you.
Is that? Oh, man. I was going to get a shirt with a Camburger on it and just come and wear it. And just not even have you, like, not even say anything, just be like, yeah, it's casual, it's
I mean, party. Hey, go for it. I would just recommend you only print one, because I don't think those are going to sell very well. I
don't think they're going to sell. but have you heard, did you hear my nickname for, I came up with one for Rafa Diaz early on the season.
Is that the washing machine?
Did I tell you about this one?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, you've been on too much.
It was the last time I was on this podcast, you told me about it.
Yeah. Sorry,
You need new content, man.
I do, apparently. Well, I was trying to come up with a different one before today, but... I feel like it's just only going to get worse, and I didn't want to do that to you because they're bad.
Maybe you guys need to get like a group think session together to just everyone can spitball some ideas.
If you don't think we did that before Cammy Whammy, the first Camburger was like,
well, it was
pretty
so
simple.
Bad, I thought it was just you, and then
I mean it was, but the other options were bad. Were bad. What are you doing on off days? What's your go to? Like, what you got tomorrow off? Wednesday off. What do you typically do on an off day?
You know, take the chance to sleep in a little bit more. You know, that means waking up at like 8 a.m. instead of, you know, 6:45 or whatever. So the extra hour is always nice. And then, you know, some of the boys will get together. We'll go grab some lunch or like a brunch or something like that and just kind of relax. And then, like I said, off days are typically my opportunity to try to get some golf in. So.
Do you how often do you – I know you guys watch film as a team. Do you watch film, like, individually and break stuff down, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, so we always have – we typically have 2 film sessions after every week. It'll be a review of the previous game, and then it'll be, like, a scout of whatever coming team. So we usually get specific clips broken down that the coaches want to make a point of emphasis, either positively or negatively. You know, obviously, regardless of a good performance, there's always stuff you can improve on. And then – For a lot of us, myself included, taking an opportunity, you know, we do get a lot of downtime, so taking an opportunity to watch at least parts of the game. You know, I don't necessarily always watch the whole game, but there'll be, you know, maybe there's a 20-minute period in the first half that I want to kind of look at again that I felt like was either really good or really bad that I kind of want to key in on.
When you go into a game and the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so, are you trying to figure out, like, kind of where they're vulnerable? Or do you already know that going into the game? I mean, how does that work for you?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, our like I said, our coaches always put together some good clips of us that kind of scout, hey, this is their tendencies, so, you know, this is typically where they're vulnerable or this and that. But there's still a feeling out process. So we'll go into a game with certain ideas of how we want to build and certain runs we want to make to try to exploit what we can. But at the same time, like, it's constantly adapting to whatever, you know, whatever the other team is doing, because we might come out and make a couple of certain runs in the first 5 minutes and then they're going to make an adjustment and then sure. We kind of have to adjust on that. So, I mean, that's the one thing without any timeouts or whatever, like, halftime is the only chance you get to really sit down and tactically kind of think some things through. Other than that, it's us on the field trying to go on the fly and figure things out.
What is that moment like at halftime? I know obviously coach comes in, talks to you guys about certain things, but is it a lot of, I know he gives these big speeches that fire me up because we hear him, we have him mic'd up at the matches. But is it like, all right, motivation, and then tactically, what are we going to do differently? How does the halftime talk score?
I mean, it really varies. You know, like Saturday, for instance, there wasn't a lot of motivation involved. It was just a lot of, and there wasn't really a lot of tactics involved. It was like, hey, like, stick to what we're doing because we're playing really well. The breakthrough's going to come.
Yeah.
You know, we gave up a crappy goal that, you know, it was unfortunate, but like, we were clearly the better team in that first half. And so if we keep sticking to that and keep being aggressive, like, the goals are going to come. And so, but there's other games where it's like, hey, like, we're getting broken down in this area, so we need to switch this and this. And hey, you know, maybe it's myself, Cam, I need you to press this way instead of this way. And I need you to drop here instead of there, you know, whatever it may be. So it really is a game to game thing. And, you know, some games it might be, hey, like, you guys just look sluggish, and that's when it's like, fire up, and maybe he has a little bit of a go at us to kind of wake us up. And other games, like Saturday night, it was just like, hey, like, keep going, keep doing what we're doing. There wasn't really too much of anything because we took the game plan from the beginning and we were implementing it well, and it was just a matter of time.
It feels like this team, especially where you guys are at, you've had a couple late goals that have gotten scored basically at the death to either get a draw or a win. It feels like you guys are comfortable going down a goal. Not that you want to go down a goal, but you're very comfortable being able to come back from that. Is that kind of proof of, like, how does that come to be as a team? Do you guys kind of rally together in certain situations? Like, all right, we got to scrap one together. How does that work?
I think it just says a lot about the resiliency and the heart that, you know, our guys have. We have a lot of guys that their number one goal is to come out and win games and get points and make a playoff push. And that's really what it comes down to, you know. In those sorts of games, sometimes tactics kind of go out the window, and it's like, hey, we're just kind of flooding numbers forward. And, I mean, you look at it, we had two center backs score those two goals that were the, like, you know, like you said, at the death. Two guys that are, you know, both came on as subs in those instances as well and are getting forward and making something happen. And so, you know, it's just, I think, you know, it's a really proud moment for all of us that we are able to go and scrap that out. And and it really shows that, you know, everybody can make contributions. It's not necessarily like, oh, if the strikers don't score, we're not going to score. And, you know, there's also a lot of instances of, like, you know, the previous games, you see Carlton and Darek and these guys that are attacking players that are tracking back and working their butts off for the team. So, you know, I think when you see that all of these guys are working on both sides of the ball, you know, that really shows we have the makings to put something together and be a special team towards the end of the year.
Big one Saturday. You take on Phoenix. I think it's the third time. I would argue, watching the first two matches, you guys play them incredibly tough, even though those were losses. I talked to a couple different people who cover, you know, the Pacific Division, and they said that Sacramento's actually played Phoenix. This is before their two draws, but Sacramento at that point had played them the toughest. I know it's a rivalry. I know we don't like those guys. They probably don't like us either. How do you, you know, maintain focus and don't let your emotions get, you know, the best of you in a match where there are a lot of emotions?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the attitude of thinking that we are a better team. I mean, the standings don't show that, you know, but we always feel like we're the best team when we step on a field. But, you know, that kind of confidence, whether it's warranted or not, that's how we feel. And so I think that's key. I think there's a lot of teams that go in to play Phoenix and they've already lost the game when they're stepping on the field. And so that's definitely not the case with us. You know, it's a level of respect because they are a good team, but it's not giving them too much respect to where you end up playing scared. So that's going to be our attitude. We're going in there with an attitude on getting 3 points. It's not like we're going to try to bunker down and just try to play for a 0-0 draw. We're going in there to win. And, you know, I think when you go in with that kind of attitude, it's a little bit shocking to a team like that that is kind of used to some teams laying down.
Well, you know, I mean, they love to maintain possession, but they also have an unbelievable counterattack. Mm-hmm. We know how much speed they have. Does that change your guys' tactics at all, or do you guys keep playing? No, we're going to play the way we play and let them do whatever they do. We're not worried about them.
I mean, it changes a little bit of how we defend, maybe. Okay. But I think when we're on the ball, we want to continue to play the same way that we played this past Saturday.
Right.
That shouldn't change. It'll be just a couple of minor tweaks, maybe, and you know, like I said, some of the defensive setup, we might there might be a couple of tweaks, and then it might be, like I said, game to game. Maybe there's certain runs that we feel like can work against different teams, but other than that, like, it's going to continue to be like foot on the gas, and we want to go.
Well, I've already taken too much of your time. 18 minutes, I said 15. Dude, four times on the, I mean, we started this during the pandemic, and you were like the third guest or whatever. So thanks so much for taking time to talk, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, anytime.
Well, I don't know about it. Don't say that, because then it's going to be a text every few weeks. You might be co-hosting it next week. You don't even know.
Well, I do need a, whenever I'm done playing, I do need a career, so we'll see.
You could always do this. Anybody could do this, man. You just sit down, turn on the microphone, and go, man. It's pretty simple. You just got to be able to come up with creative nicknames. That's really what you need to be able to do.
Well, maybe I'm out then.
Yeah. When I say creative, I mean terrible, not good. Dang, I wish somebody had come up to you had said something about it, though. Maybe it's just because people put it on Twitter and I see it, mm-hmm. that we'll have to work on that. We got to work on the marketing of the of the names.
Good luck. Good.
All right, Cam. Good luck this Saturday, man. Thanks for doing this.
All right, appreciate it, man.
Our thanks to Cam Iwasa for taking the time out of his day to talk to us. Coming up on Saturday, tomorrow, August 21st, 7:30 p.m., Your Republic head to Phoenix to take on Phoenix Rising FC. You can watch the match on ESPN Plus, KQCA, My58, or Astrea TV. We also want to thank U.S. Bank for being the presenting partner of this podcast. We want to thank you, of course. Please rate, review, and subscribe and share. Give us a 5-star review and let others know that you love this podcast. We will see you next week, and as always, Go Republic!